Y'all have prayed? Okay. Got several things I want to, a couple things I want to go over with you. And kind of like things to happen, you know, one and then another and another. But a lot of production has all occurred at one time. And first of all, what has happened, what we're doing is we're going to, and I'm going to just pass these around, and you can look at them, and then they'll be in the foyer if you ever need any. Just look at them and pass them around down the aisles, and just look at them. And James, that one's yours. Two, okay? And just pass them around, look at them. What we're going to do on these is have them here at the church, and when anybody orders the Galatians series, they'll get this first. And it's just a nice little introduction way, and I can take them when I speak. Hey, one back there, he's raising his hand. Oh, yeah, right. Huh? Yeah, but we just try to make it just simple. and I can take these when I go speak somewhere. We can mail them. And so we're going to send some down to some pastors in Barbados. And it just makes a nice little, on the back is the title of each of the lessons that we did in Galatians. And so they can kind of look through, and if they wanted one specifically, they can do it that way, order the title. And so that's one thing that came through. In fact, we just got everything yesterday for that. And I've been talking to you about our first pamphlet. Now, this is going to come out in different ways, another way, but I want to show you this way. Wesley, you pass one of these around to everybody. And there'll be a whole stack of them out in the foyer. So I'll let you get one first here. And here you go. And you certainly can have more. I'm just giving you one so we can talk about it, what you have in your hand, and then go. One of the things that this is going to end up doing, in fact, right now it's being translated into Spanish, and with the probability of being translated next month into the Filipino language, and we'll print up that, you know, a tremendous number of them for those areas. Okay, let's talk about it. Salvation is a pattern of spirituality. I think everyone here knows this is, there are men throughout all sorts of history who have taught this. But it is not that popular or that saturating of the churches today. And in truth, there's just really not that much out as far as just reading about it. Lewis Berry Schaefer's book on chapter 7, which really this is from, this is really just taking the idea from Lewis Berry Schaefer, and I'll talk with you about that. I did have in the back here, right here, I did have edited from Lewis Berry Schaefer chapter 7 of He That Is Spiritual, but because Schaefer liked the scriptures, in another place, you can take it as being another thing and just see it whichever way you want. And somebody could discard what is being taught here by just saying, well, Schaefer also taught the other. So this way, they're at least going to have to deal with the information in the pamphlet. There's just not that much as far as out for people to read. There are a lot of, you know, our tapes and Dan's and John's and our tapes. And they're all men. I get books from some of you and other people who have in their writings living this spiritual life by faith in the Spirit. And there are a lot of men. The man, the pastor, his name would come to my mind real quick, but it will, but that led Geronimo to the Lord, wrote a book on spirituality and taught this. And it's a little pamphlet, and he taught it. So there are a lot of men throughout church history who have seen it, but it's not that prevalent. And I just want to start getting some things out. I'm led to start getting some things out. It's not a matter of want to. Get some things out so people could at least look at it and take a look at salvation as a pattern for spirituality. So as you look at it, how am I saved? How am I filled with the Spirit? Salvation as a pattern for spirituality. Now, very shortly, if you take this in about like that, we're going to have it in a little booklet like that, very similar to our Salvation by Grace. We're going to have it like that also. And to serve other purposes, it'll have more in it. It'll have some Bible verses and to support and everything. This just to get it out. As you open it up, and you use this for witnessing or whatever, the left side there and this side just presents the premise. Then you open up these two pages, and the red, the black is the unbeliever, and the red is the born-again believer. And it just goes through how we're saved, how we're spiritual. The gospel, or good news for the non-Christian. The gospel, or the good news for the Christian. You know, it's so interesting the way you go through this. I did have for the unbeliever and for the believer. That those, you know, if you just picked it up somewhere, that may not be explanatory. So I just opted for non-Christian and Christian. And then each of the bullets are parallel across the page to show how salvation is a pattern for spirituality. And now there will be a lot of people who reject this. This pamphlet's not for them. This pamphlet is for those who want to see how grace works for both the unbeliever and the believer. So we have the condition of the one who needs to be saved from the penalty of sin, and then across the page, the condition of the one who needs to be saved from the power of sin. You know, it serves both purposes. Let's say you're just dealing with an unbeliever. Say you just use the black. Works for the black on both sides. You see the black, and that's the gospel for the unbeliever. But if you're dealing with a person who is saved and wants to know about how to be filled with the Spirit, then you deal with both. You show this is how you were saved, this is how you're filled with the Spirit. The second part, God's love desires your salvation from the penalty of sin. God's love desires your salvation from the power of sin for the Christian. Salvation is of God alone from the penalty of sin. Salvation is of God alone from the power of sin. Salvation is only by and through the cross from the penalty of sin. Salvation is by and through the cross from the power of sin. Then you turn it over. Salvation is by grace alone from the penalty of sin. Salvation for the Christian, meaning salvation from the power of sin. Salvation by grace alone from the power of sin. Salvation is by faith alone from the penalty of sin. Salvation is by faith alone from the power of sin. With a little statement under each one, very similar to the way that we dealt with salvation by grace, only here, taking them through the pattern and showing how it establishes a pattern. Then, on the this part, we had this space, and so just a summary statement that you can read in regard to what the premise and the flow of our salvation is like, and then, of course, to reorder them. Okay, let's talk about the reordering. This is supported by you. This is Spring Valley Bible Church. But it says here, Christ-Centered Ministries. Why not Spring Valley Bible Church? Okay, here's my thinking here. In one of our lessons, not long ago, in fact, last week, I told you that the one group of Christians that are most arrogant and jealous of each other are pastors. It is unbelievable. They compete with each other, and we're not in competition. But you would think that they are for most baptisms. If you got whatever your list is, we got the greater list, or we have the greater breakthroughs, or we do the greater work, or we save more people, or we do more for God, or we give more money to this, and it's just horrible. And if you put a church or a name on here, more than likely, somebody who might even agree with the message would not put it in their church. But Christ-Centered Ministries is so, pardon the expression, nebulous, and at the same time has a good feeling to it, and so a pastor would not be offended. As very few to anybody knows what the who the Christ-centered ministry is and what it is. So it's not like they're supporting any church, any denomination, any movement. And what they're supporting is the message. We did this with that little pamphlet, Salvation by Grace. Did exactly the same thing, and a lot of churches use it. And I mean denominational churches. It's been in their foyers and things. And I'm working on getting those reprinted with the Christ-centered ministry's new address and everything on it. So that's the thinking there. And as I said, as we speak, this is being translated now into Spanish, and we're going to get it printed up into Spanish. And about something like 10,000 made, and that are going out this summer, south to Ian and Carol McGrath. So, and then Ralph LaRosa thinking about using it in the Philippines. So, who knows what God can do? And that's why I want you to be in prayer about it, and just take them home and read it. And if you have any suggestions, comments, this is our first print. I always take a piece of paper with, you know, I used to print those books on the prayer and on Psalm 23, and if we redo them, what we'd want to do if we reprint. And so this is our first one, and I'm hoping very shortly we'll have the smaller one, which will give more verses, and I'll show you how it reads and is laid out. But this is our this is the first one. And I already have churches that want it, and so we'll be mailing those to like Dan Hill, John Hintz, and things like that. So got those two things going. Really excited about getting them completed. After we get the little one done, very close to, I say very close, not that far away from the children's gospel being done. And so things, you know, 1998, maybe... we'll just see what God is going to continue to do with this small assembly. And so just be in prayer, and I hope that this will explain and make it very clear to a lot of people what we do believe. And this is just the first attempt. I've got other ideas in mind for teaching the spiritual life by faith. I want to put out a similar thing on the obedience that God is looking for, the crisis of grace, the crisis of faith, and the crisis of love, in one little pamphlet, so we can get these things out. And again, like I said, if there were a lot of these and things like this out there, I wouldn't do that. But there isn't. The closest that I have seen to anything like this is the one the Campus Crusade for Christ uses, and I don't know why we're out. I'll have to go pick up some because I do like it. And it's on the Spirit-filled Life by Faith. It makes it very clear how to be filled with the Spirit. We had it out there, and I hope you read it. How are we filled with the Spirit? We're filled with the Spirit by faith. Now, they didn't compare it with salvation, or redemptive salvation, and they didn't really give the object of faith. They just said, we're filled with the Spirit by faith. And I have no problem. I don't say that in a condescending way of Campus Crusade for Christ, because they are right. You are filled, and they have one page. You recall when I first put it out there, we went through it. You are filled with the Spirit by faith. Boom. And then they said, now, if you want to have a prayer, here's a suggested prayer. But they made it very clear, you're filled with the Spirit even before you pray. And express to God about faith in the Holy Spirit. But outside of that, I just haven't seen anything. And I've looked through, every time I go into a bookstore, look at the pamphlet sessions and just try to find something, how to be filled with the Spirit. I've accumulated, without exaggerating, 40-plus books on the Holy Spirit. And I got to tell you, in some of them, what they say about the Holy Spirit is great and good, but when it comes to how-to, it's extremely nebulous. I could put the book down, and I wouldn't know how to be filled with the Spirit. And it's that's unfortunate. It's like, how am I saved? And you go through a lot of stuff, and you talk about a lot of things, but you never say, trust in Jesus Christ. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And it's that simple. But it's just difficult to get people to come right out and state it. And I have a great number of those books are like that. The very few of the books that I have on the Holy Spirit by renowned people and not so renowned people. Excellent work. Each have a little thing that they've added and I like. But on exactly how to tap into his power, it's wanting. You're left wanting in a lot of them. And you've explained a lot of the power and the guidance and the fruit and the go through all this stuff. How do I get it? And you're really left wanting. And it's kind of like, you know, boy and a girl, and do you love me? And, well, I really like you. Well, that doesn't do it. I need more than you to like me. You know, you just walk away. Yeah. And that's what happens here. You walk away from these books on how to be filled with the Spirit, and how I'm lost. And I hate to say it, but some who do tell you how, it's not by faith. It's by their list. This is what you have to do to be filled with the Spirit. And they give you a lot of words without... Some of them give you words like yield, and you'll be filled with the Spirit. I don't know what that means. What does yield mean spiritually? And unfortunately, they don't even take the Greek word, which would help them, and explain what that Greek word means. They use the English word. So if I'm sitting there and I do not know Greek and I do not know these things, how do I yield? And most of the time, we try to do it by the flesh. I mean, I would if I was just a believer and a book said yield. I'm going to try to do it. I'm going to do it in the flesh, and the flesh is going to accomplish nothing. It is not going to tap into the Holy Spirit. So we're left. And so I'm hoping that we can start getting some things out on back momentum. And there's two major things that I'm very thankful for God in the journey that He's taken me. One is faith, but the other is spiritual love. Probably I'm more thankful for spiritual life, because that's the goal I want to go to here, and I want to get back and start working and put some things out on spiritual life, because to me that's the essential. But if you don't know how to tap into the Spirit, you'll never get the fruit of the Spirit. If you know how to tap into the Spirit by faith, you'll get that love, even if you don't really understand all the things about it, the new commandment and the things that we're studying on Tuesday and Wednesday evenings, and in fact all of our classes. Okay, so got that, and we got the cassette, the little cassette package. I had to laugh, so I will be honest with you, and humor and fun. You know, the first passage, it gets this nice little deal with the four tapes in it, and a little deal, and it's got a nice. And the next order, they get the tapes wrapped around a rubber band or a rubber band wrapped around them. So, but hopefully by then their interest will be to hear the what's in it and that type of thing. So be in prayer about the Holy Spirit using these things and in whatever way that would be glorifying and appealing. Any comment, question, criticism? Amen? Okay. I'm sorry? Yeah, thank you. I think it really does. And, you know, to go through everybody that helped in it, Susan, crashing, really worked laboriously, and to get everything, and she would put it together, and then I'd say, well, let's change this, and then she'd get that, and I'd say, let's change this, and she'd go back to the computer. Then she had a lot of computer problems, and that took her to someone to work with worse than me, and that's David Smith, and so she had to work with David on the computer deal, and so really went through the battle. And then Larry helped us get the Galatians thing printed up, and also getting us the little shell to put the cassettes in. And so just you and your prayers, finances, everything, make these things possible. So be in prayer. Yes, sir. How many do we have? Susan, how many do we have printed? How many? Okay, he gave me the options of 1,000, 2,500, 5,000, 10,000, and so forth. What I wanted to do is let's get it done. Let's work out the kinks if there are any, and if they're not, and if this is a go, and if the church is really going to use it, and they're going to use it in the English forms and different things, then the next one we just run through and then run 10,000. But the first one, I wanted enough to work out any kinks that you might read in here, and that's why I do ask you to sit down and read it. And don't be afraid to give any of your suggestions or criticisms or anything. And that doesn't mean we'll change them. It doesn't mean we won't change them, but just put in your, let us know. And then on our next printing, we'll do more. Right? One thing we'll do is we did have the Schaefer thing here in black print. Just to give you an idea of what things are already would like to do. Well, you got red and red. It would be nice if this had been in dark print instead of red also. So next time, that'll probably be dark print. And so just little things like that, but that's why, David, we have 2,500 at this point. And we're saying some to Dan and to John. Super. That's what I like. I like that. No, don't do that. Okay. And the Galatians things make it so nice to mail and for me to take when I go somewhere and speak, and to just set these out for people to be able to take them and see the back what the titles are, how many are in each or one of them. Okay, what we're in the midst of looking at in our study on Tuesday evening, we got some time left, so let's open the scriptures and get into some things of what we're looking at. We left off with the statement in dealing with the giving of if I give all that I own to feed the poor. And before we take up the giving my life, I wanted to take the last phrase, it profits me nothing. And we've gone through some studies on profit. And we left off last week, so let's see if we can get this part covered and go over tonight. It also involves not only the earthly things that are involved in the profit of spiritual love and how it is a profit to your life. It is a profit as far as our eternal rewards. In other words, in our study of Galatians chapter 4, you'll recall, Galatians 5, we talked about inheriting the kingdom, and that's a very important phrase. It differs from entering the kingdom and inheriting the kingdom. And inheriting the kingdom is inheriting the rewards of the kingdom. And this is how it's a profit. So people, any giving that you do, and as a matter of fact, anything we do in our life, but since it's related with the giving, but it relates to anything in our life, but any giving that you do in your life, it can have eternal profit. And by that meaning, eternal reward, if it's done in spiritual love. If I do not have love in this giving, it profits me nothing. But if it is done in love, in the power of love, then you're going to get eternal rewards. And what I'm showing you is that the crowns that are available to all Christians, there's one crown I'm not going to talk about because it seems to be isolated to one group of people, not to pastors, but to the ones that all of us can get is the first one, the crown of righteousness. The crown of righteousness. Now, let's just, so we're oriented together, very quickly open to 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I want to move on through this and get the others done, but it's always an encouragement to know what is all of this about? And I have an understanding of eternity, of heaven, and of rewards, and of different things that are going to happen to us. People, I'm going to do Revelation, Job, Daniel, when we're through here on Wednesday evenings. And everybody's excited about the rapture. A lot of people think it's close, and we're going to go study a lot of those things and have fun there. But let me assure you, not every one of you have any kind of, not any of us have any guarantee we'll be part of that rapture generation. Even if it occurred within what would be considered our lifetime, you have no guarantee you won't die before then. In other words, you might die the day before the rapture occurs. And you get there and go, oh, rapture, why couldn't you have waited one day? That kind of thing. But we'll study it. because it is something that you need to know. But I do want to tell you this. Every one of you will, every one of us will stand before the evaluation of Jesus Christ. That I can promise you. But you'll be in the rapture, I don't know. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. Maybe it'll occur after you die. So I don't know. Maybe it'll occur 1,000 years from now. I don't know. May occur tomorrow, too. We might be a part of it. But I can tell you this. You will stand before Jesus Christ and have your life evaluated. And a lot of people have this idea, it's all good, bad, good, bad. Now, what I want to show you is the place that love plays in these things. So look with me at 2 Timothy 4:7. I have fought the good fight. All right, what is the good fight? We looked at 1 Timothy 6:12. The good fight is the battle of faith. I have finished the course, the journey, the run here. I have kept the faith, that is, the truth of the gospel. In the future, this is going to be the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. Now, Galatians chapter 5, Paul talked about the hope of a righteous life. Hope of, is we right? Y'all right? Did I give you the right passage? Okay, send me related. All right. There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. In Galatians 5, we talked about the hope of a righteous life by faith in the Spirit. Now, let's continue. With the Lord, the righteous judge, so I'm not the judge, he is, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all. Now that includes every one of you here. All who have loved his appearing. Okay, so we have the concept of the love. If you walk by faith in the Spirit, produces spiritual love, and you have this love of his appearing. There is a love, not only of Christ here, but a love related to his appearing. So love is the foundation of the crown of righteousness. Without love, not going to be there. We love his appearing. And what we were doing when we had to quit last week, noting the force of love, and we saw, if you understand love, which we're in the midst of studying, as a spiritual force, and as a spiritual force, first of all, as a force, it has direction. Now, when we get back, and when we reach where we left off, and that's because we need to have all of this on tape. We don't have it on tape. Those tapes have been destroyed. So I want to get all of this on tape. But we're going to go from a spiritual force, and I'm going to continue to use the spiritual force because it really communicates what spiritual love is. But I've got a few other analogies of what spiritual love is that will help us understand. All right, the direction. And the direction of this love is your love in the person of Jesus Christ and all that is related to him, and here it is at seeing him. Related toward Jesus Christ, and specifically seeing him. Seeing Jesus Christ. Secondly, a force has magnitude. That's the measurability of love, and love can be measured. No greater love hath any man than this. So you have the ideal of love. You must hate your father and love me. You must love me more than. All of those things are the magnitude of love. The magnitude of your love for Jesus Christ is so strong that it is a driving force in your life. You keep watching for his appearance in your life. So it is the magnitude of this is the magnitude or this force as the force of your life, his physical appearance on earth. But remember, very important, there are two aspects of seeing and having his appearance. One is, yes, his physical appearance when he calls home the church and we go to meet him in the air. But there's a second one that is extremely important to Christians, and I believe is in part of all of these passages, is the seeing of him in my life. And how do we see him in my life? When you have this love toward Jesus Christ, I wish we had time. We'll see it in John 14. But if you love me, and we love him just simply by walking by faith, I will reveal myself to you. So I have this intense magnitude, this intense force to see him. Not only his physical appearance when he calls on the church people, but right now in my life, in your life there should be the magnitude of this love that of seeing him appear in your life, so that he reveals himself to you through the presence and ministry of the Holy Spirit, and eventually, as we saw in Galatians, Christ formed in you. Not by something that you and I do. We can't do that. I don't know what that would be like. But the Holy Spirit is the one who does this. And how do we tap into that? Simply by trusting him. So the magnitude of this is not only his physical appearance, but his appearance in my life. I love him so much that I want his appearance to be the appearance in my life. I don't want people to see me. I want people to see him. So if I love as Christ loves, they're going to see him. They're not going to see my love. My love is ugly. They're going to see his love. And that is the love that I want them to see. Then there is the impact of a force. A force also has impact or effect. And the impact or the effect of your love or the appearing of Jesus Christ is that every area in your life is lived in reference to his appearing. To his appearing at the rapture or his appearing in my life. So that every area of my being. See, people, it's not a matter that 90% of you, not of you, but 90% of who and what each of us are is on that forceful movement toward Jesus Christ. But I've got 10% that I keep for myself. I have 10% of my flesh that's me. People, God is jealous. He's going to come in and he's going to keep working and keep chiseling away at all of our flesh, all of the flesh desires, so that the whole person is obsessed with his appearing in my life. Not me, not my desires, not my happinesses, not anything about me, but every aspect of my being is the appearing or the seeing of Jesus Christ formed in me. That's the magnitude, that's the effect or the impact of this love. Now, it's a sacrificial love. That is, you sacrifice your life. Why? For the glorious appearing of Jesus Christ in both of these. His glorious appearing in your personal life, at home, at work, your social life, church, everywhere we go. His glorious appearing occurring in your life as well as in the... So, I sacrifice. Another way of talking about sacrificing ourselves is that I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So we become the impact, it should be down here, the impact of all of this is his appearing. It affects every area of our being so that we sacrifice ourselves. Now, the next crown is called the crown. This is the crown of righteousness that you and I can receive at the judgment seat of Christ, and it is related to love, and you have a commission. You want this crown, people. Don't let people tell you, oh, well, you got to go out and be good, and if you sin, you're not going to get it. Read the scripture. What's it related to? It's related to spiritual love. That's the profit. It's a benefit to you. Now, so here is the crown that you can expect to get. Paul's very confident he's going to get it because he walked by faith in the Spirit. Did he ever fail? Boy, did he fail. He failed miserably when he went into the temple and made the vow and other times, but that one's blatant. But he has all the confidence that he's going to get it, and so can you. Here is the crown of righteousness, but there's another crown that we can get, and that is the crown of life. Okay, let's see what the scriptures have to say about the crown of life. Let's first of all turn to James 1. James 1. Okay, James 1, verse 12. James 1, verse 12. Blessed is a man, and we're talking about a believer here, who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Okay. We've got we're going to talk about the conditions of the crown. There are seven things here we want to look at in this verse. So let's just walk through it. First of all, it said blessed. What the word blessed has to do here, what the word blessed means is it is to your advantage. It is to your prosperity. Blessed means that this is something that God has given that is desirous. So we start out, if you want this, this is what you want. So blessed. And then the second thing we want to note is the man, that's a believer, who perseveres. Okay, that's going to be our deal. Persevere. Blessed is the man, the believer, who perseveres. Okay. Now, what are we talking about? What is the perseverance? Perseverance of what? It's the perseverance of your faith. James is a book about faith. And he'll show you that throughout the writing of the book. The perseverance of faith. People, this is what the battle's about. You study Job. From Job all the way through. I've told you this so many times. Job, Abraham, Jeremiah, Isaiah, David, on and on. It's not about getting these men saved. It's not about getting these men to be morally righteous. It is not about getting these men to learn doctrine. It is not about getting these men to serve. It's about getting these men to trust me. I'm God. Will you trust me? That's the journey. And this has been from Job all the way through. God never answered Job's question. And this is why at the end Job just says, I retract everything I say. You're God. I trust you. Do whatever you want to do. You're God. I trust you. But look, all he had to go through. You say, didn't he understand that in chapter 1? Not like he did after being tested. You have the perseverance of that faith. Now, does that mean without failure? No. Abraham failed. But what did the book writer of Hebrews say? What did God say? He did not falter in his faith. And you go, wait a minute, time out, God. This is what the I call them Christian newspaper reporters, combining two horrible groups of people, because there's nothing like a Christian to remember how bad you are. And wait a minute, God, remember Abraham and Hagar? What do you mean you never fail? You've got to understand how God looks at things. The momentum of Abraham's life was one of trusting, the perseverance of his faith. This is what all of the Peter, what did Christ say to Peter? Satan's going to take you. He wants to eclipse your faith. But when your faith returns, what's the whole battle all the way through? It's the perseverance of faith. So blessed, and then we have perseverance of faith. This is the real battle. Are you going to continue to trust him? Or are you going to go to the flesh? Are you going to leave God? Are you going to go to the law to try to make things happen? This isn't happening, so I'm going to go to the law and make it happen. This isn't occurring. God isn't worth it. I'm going to leave God and just run away and hide. Are you going to just battle through this thing, have your failures, but trust him? It's the perseverance of trusting him whom I cannot see. Alright? Blessed is the man who perseveres. Now, it's perseverance of faith. And what do we have? Under trial. So we have the testing. The testing of your faith. People, you have to understand your faith is going to be tested. Your love is going to be tested. But ultimately it's faith, because love is a product of faith. Faith expressing itself in love. So you can just count on it. It's what your life is going to be, a testing. And I'm just having so much fun studying the different relationships Jesus Christ had with people, because it's always about faith. And every one of those is what the Holy Spirit does with us now that Christ is absent, but he's inside of us. Very powerful. You are not unlike Job. You're not unlike Abraham. You're not unlike Daniel, David. And they all have their own ways and areas of failing and all these types of things. And Christians like to really look at David. Oh, how horrible David was with all of the immorality. But, you know, and when I teach things like this, I know I'm setting myself up for critics to take the shot. But if you take a look, if you take a look at Adam, David, take a look at these now. Samson. These three people are Christ figures. Not something just for me. A lot of teachers talk about that. Now let's talk about each one of them. They all have one thing in common. One thing we associate with them in their struggles. Woman. They all three got into all these trouble and things because of this woman. He gave up the kingdom. He went through a lot of problems, testing, trials, punishment. All kinds of things happened to David. Samson, everybody knows his story. What if I put here the name Jesus, who was perfect and came identified with the filth and the guilt of sin for a woman? The church, you. Now are you offended? He took upon himself all this sin for a woman. So he left for a woman. He left the garden for his love for this woman. Love of the woman. Love of the woman. Love of the woman. I'm not praising these men and what they did. I'm pointing out something to you and how they're Christ-like, because that's exactly what Jesus Christ did. He came in contact with sin. He came in contact with sin because of his love for a woman. And you're that woman. We're the bride. We're the church. We're his future bride. So all of these have that in common. What's God taking all these people on, and all of you, all of us on? It's this testing of our faith. Are you going to trust me? It's the testing. People, your faith is going to come under trial. It's going to come under trial, one, from your lower nature, sin nature, carnal nature, flesh nature. It's always going to be a fight. That's why Paul calls it the battle of faith. Our lower nature within us is going to be fighting. Just trust me. Our lower nature is going to want to get into the act and do something. Then you have, secondly, the cosmic forces. Cosmic forces, that involves religion, that involves people, systems, all those kinds of things. Religion, law, and then you have the powers of darkness in Ephesians, which really lays it all out, that we battle not against flesh and blood, but against the powers and forces of darkness. So here we have the powers of darkness. Now, every one of us, as Christians, have all three of these forces fighting against our relationship with him and our testing of our faith. Are you going to continue to trust me, or are you going to let your lower nature kick in and take over? Says what happened with Abraham. Abraham said, I'm not getting the child that's promised to me, therefore I know how to do it by nature. All I have to do is go get me a healthy woman, since Sarah is barren and can't give birth. I'll go find me a healthy woman, I'll have sex, and we'll do it the natural way, and it'll come about. My lower nature can figure this out. Testing of the faith. Then there is the cosmic forces of systems and law. Peter understood perfectly spirituality by faith. James stands in a group from the Jerusalem, and he becomes so fearful that they're not going to like him anymore, and all these things. So you have the cosmic force of religion, which here involves even the believers fighting against, will you just keep trusting me? Are you going to get into the cosmic forces? And then, of course, you have the powers of darkness, which, using another illustration for Peter, Satan called his name. Satan called David's name. And boy, when they call your name, people, you lose. I've got news for you. We studied that. Nobody but Jesus Christ has withstood that one. When Satan calls your name, pow. What are all of these things adding up to? They're adding up to the testing of your faith. You've got to persevere in the testing of your faith. People, if you can start seeing these things and understand them in Scripture, you'll understand why we don't judge one another, why we don't kick one another, why we don't shoot one another, why when you see another believer, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, you actually catch him in sin, restore that one. Bring them back. Reconcile them. But Christians don't want to do that. We want to judge, malign, attack, because it makes me look better. Makes me look pure. But if we can see the battle and the journey and all these things that they're on, if everybody's in this thing, and these things start attacking people, man, I know what you're going through. And at this particular moment, I'm walking in the power of the Spirit by faith. Let me help you. Instead of kicking you, let me help you get back up here. Because this is what's going on in your life. And we're all going to have this. Every believer is going to go through this ordeal. Okay, the testing then, or the persevere of your, and the trial, that's the testing. Now the fourth one. Once approved. Okay, now we've got to get to the approved state. Okay. You can't have any failures to be approved. Now you know better than that. Now see what we need to do is spend the next 30, 40 minutes reading Hebrews 11. And it'll boggle your mind, some of the names that are in Hebrews 11, the greatest chapter, or the greatest chapter on those who persevered in faith. Names that you can't even think would be in there are in there. Samson's name is in there. Wait a minute, Samson, what a bum. I mean, the man even in his strength was weak. And yet he's in the greatest chapter on faith. How's this all working out? Because people get away from the way that man thinks. God isn't sitting here, okay, you trusted me, you get a mark. Over here you didn't, you get a mark. So they cancel out. Okay, over here, you didn't. So you got five didn'ts, and okay, you got what? Well, that's what. That's what you've got. You won't see that in Hebrews chapter 11 or anywhere else in Scripture. You know what he looks at? Samson trusted me. He's in the greatest chapter of the Bible. He tested me. You saw it? And he tested me. Isaac fought God all through his life. The guy's like a lot of Christians. He just can't accept grace. He's got to work for it. I want this woman. I worked 7 years. Well, I didn't get the one I want. I worked 14 years. God, you would have given it for him for nothing. The one the guy wanted didn't give it to him free. Boom. He didn't want that one. He wanted another one. They worked. Always conning people. Conned his brother. Conned his father-in-law. And was out conned by his father-in-law all through his life. He's an old man leaning on a staff. He got it. He's in the greatest chapter of the Bible. Don't think like man thinks. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. People, you want to be approved? Just trust him. Now that you see the issues, trust him. You fail? How do you recover from failure? Trust him. Because how did you fail? You stopped trusting. How do you get back? Start trusting again. So approved. Okay, that's the fourth one. Then it says, he will receive. This is our fifth one. He will receive the crown of life. This is at the judgment seat of Christ. He will receive it graciously. All right, what's the sixth one? Which the Lord has promised. So it's promised. And how do you and I receive any promise? By faith. To those who, and here's the seventh one, love him. Now, it looks like we've got two different things if we read this analytically. We're in a classroom, we're analyzing this, dissecting it. Look what it first says. I want the crown of life, and to get it, I have to persevere. I have the perseverance of faith under testing. Okay? That seems to be the first condition. But then there's another condition. So here's the perseverance of faith. Under testing. Now look at the second one. Who loves him? Well, looks like we got one, faith, two, love. Do we have two different conditions? Huh? No. We don't have two different conditions. Where does love come from? Faith. So you see how it go together? And I've showed you this so many times in Scripture. And I want you to just read the Scriptures for yourself. You see these kind of things, you go, well, there they are together again. There they are together again. There's that couple. They're always walking together, hand in hand, faith and love. And why is that? Because love is a product of this faith. And if you will persevere in that faith and trust in Him, love is going to come out. Love, one, toward Jesus Christ. Love toward God the Father. Love toward the Holy Spirit. Love toward others. That means other believers. And love toward all mankind, unbelievers. This can only be done in the power of the Spirit. So love here, we don't have two conditions, we have one. Because love is a product of faith, and you see that. So these are the things that we have. So what do we have happening in our life? We're walking by faith. We are walking by faith tonight, tomorrow. Okay? You're walking by faith. You're trusting. Your faith is resting in the Holy Spirit. We studied that a couple of weeks ago. Okay. And then pow, that's what happens. Here's these forces. There's all these forces. First of all, our own carnal, our flesh nature, our lower nature, starts battling, wants us to stop this. And then secondly, the cosmic forces at work in life, they start battling. And then if that isn't bad enough, then the demonic forces, the powers of darkness start getting in. So you have all of these things coming in. And what are they after? They want you to stop trusting Him. Doesn't matter if it's sin in the traditional sense or some type of human dead, some type of semblance of righteous life and all this stuff in the flesh. They just want you to get into the flesh. Let the flesh rule. Let the flesh have glory, however it's going to do it. So here now you are in this great conflict right here. You're in the conflict. This generally is going to result, not always, but generally is going to result in some form of suffering. And I want to talk more about suffering later. A lot of believers, I want to talk about offering their life. A lot of believers like to talk about how they suffer. Oh, I'm suffering for Jesus. Things are high, and I'm suffering. Well, we'll see who really is suffering. But generally, this is going to be associated now with suffering. So all of this, what is this right here? Here's a testing of your faith. Here's a testing of your faith. This is Job, Abraham, all the way through Scripture. Here is the testing. To find out if in the midst of all of this, and this can be severe, this can take all kinds of forms, physical, financial, personal and sense of loneliness, it can be, it just takes a long time, generally a testing. Remember, this test involves time. It's not a microwave society like television sitcoms. Our society, our young people are geared and programmed in a microwave generation that in 30 minutes you can have happiness, the problem, solve the problem, and everybody's back to happiness. And that's how life ought to be, and life isn't like that until they become very discouraged, despondent, and can't handle it. So you have the time factor in all of this. So this keeps on going. So what do? You continue in your faith. That faith produces spiritual love, flows out from you. So this flows from you. Now, what is all this going to lead to? This all leads, one, to the glory of Jesus Christ. And guess what? Reward for you. The crown of joy, the crown of life that we're talking about. Because what was your life? Your life is about the glory of Christ. What's glory? Life. Your life is about the love of Christ. It came through. You persevered in that. This is very difficult. This is a very difficult point. This is the study of Job, David. A lot of things go on here. With David, you could look at, well, he just deserted and he sinned. Nope, that's the way that his journey took. And then another one, there's his self-righteousness. Another one, Job. David, his was right out sin. Job was a self-righteousness. He tried to vindicate himself. No difference before God. Difference before religious people. But not before God. Not before God. They're all in his testing, and they failed in this area in this way. They all came back. Walked by this faith. Exemplified this life. Powerful people. Absolutely powerful. And they all had their enemies. People wanted David's head. People, Job's three friends criticized him. What did both men end up doing? Job asked that God not kill his three friends, but spare them. Here's your life. And David did the same thing. Exactly the same thing. So we have a lot of things at play in this scenario. Where are we headed with all of this? This whole thing of reward. The crown of life that you can receive in heaven. And what will it tell in eternity? What will it tell others? That when you were on earth, you trusted and you exemplified his love as you were here. How did you do that? You trusted his spirit. You just walked by faith in his spirit and allowed his spirit to pour Christ's love at your home, at your office, in your church, in your social life. The same love that put Christ on the cross is in your home. The same love that put Christ on the cross is in your office. The same love that put Christ on the cross is in your social life, wherever you go. That love, the magnitude, the direction, the power, the impact, the effect of that love is right there in you when you're walking by faith in the Spirit. That's how powerful. And what are you going to get for that? Shine and light. It says, my life was his life. His glory. Closing the word of prayer. Father, the more that we take our journey through Scripture and we see things, and first of all, the new commandment is this love, and we can't give it, so you give it to us. And all we have to do is give it back to you by trusting you. And now we find out that you reward us for doing that. We don't even produce this love because we can't. We just give back to you what you've given to us, and you turn around and give to us reward. Humanly speaking, Father, it sounds like you're getting the raw end of the deal. We praise you for the God you are. We praise you, Father, that you have never asked of us anything that you have not first given us, even faith. You give it first to us and then ask for it back. Father, we thank you for things that you're doing in this small assembly of ours. We pray, Father, that you will continue to use us in ways that we don't even see. Thank you, Father, for the little pamphlet, the things we're doing. Father, we pray that this is of your spirit, this is not of the flesh, and that your spirit will take this message, because it is in ours, and use it, Father, for the glory of your Son, that maybe one or two others will see that all they have to do to walk in the power of the Spirit is all they had to do to be saved. Just trust the one you sent. We consider it a privilege, Father, to be used. Pray that you will continue to do so. In your Son's precious name, amen.